God sets the hook. When God sets the hook. Someone said, boy, I hooked a big one, but it got off. That's always the story. You hook a big one, the guy hooked a lot of big ones, it got off. Get halfway and the silly things jump, break water, and throw that bait right in your face. I've had that happen, Brother Gary, so many times over the years, and man, I tell you, just feel like taking a rod real long. It's the only part you can see that happens when a big one gets off. Amen? They got a hook now. Sean was showing me he got, and the things are big, and they turn and always catch them in the same place, right in that corner of that mouth. I'm going to get me some of those things. I saw him using them with my pump the other day. And they say that they got it. Now, I read this in the all-around Kentucky paper we get. From our electric company and a power company, and said they got a artificial bait now that's got a little seal in it, and there's a red light that comes on the thing, and it looks like a wounded fish bleeding on the water to the fish, and they say that they have outlawed them in the state of Wyoming.
Wow.
Two guys they caught 250 some big smallmouth in just no time at all. Almost every catch they caught a fish. They say that they're out to going out long and everywhere, but I think I'm going to give me one for the outlaw. Because I'd like to get into a string of fish when they get rid of those things. You can order them, and I've got the address at home. Amen. But what I'm saying, I said all that to say this, they lose a lot of them. Some of them they don't really get. They don't really set the hook, you see. I guarantee you, buddy, when God hooks you, He sets the hook. I guarantee if you're fit to hook, then you're hooked. Amen? When God sets the hook, there's no getting away. There's no getting away. I don't care what you do, you'll not get away from the Lord when He sets the hook. Amen. I mean, buddy, if you go after the Lord, He sets the hook in you, you're caught.
Amen.
Amen. He can do that anytime He wants to. He'll do it when He sees fit to set the hook. And now, in Job chapter 12, verse 19, the Bible says He leadeth princes away, spoiled and overthroweth the mighty. God does that. Look at our text, verse 2 there, if you will, in Amos chapter 4. He said, the Lord God hath sworn by His holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that He will take you away with hooks and your posterity. That word posterity means your descendants. They'll take your descendants. We'll take their descendants with them. He's going to bring judgment upon all the people here because of their wickedness. And we read that in verse 1 there. But He said He will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. That's what the book says, with fish hooks. So if He's going to take them away with hooks, He's going to have set the hook. Amen?
Right.
That's right. He'll set the hook. And I guarantee you, where He sets the hook, you're not going to get off of it. I assure you, He's got you.
Amen.
Over there, when God dealt with when He dealt with Judah about their sin of holding back on the Lord on their sabbatical years, not really doing what they were supposed to do, He took 70 years out of their life, and He got back every year that they robbed Him of sabbatical years. Every year they robbed Him of, He got her back, buddy. The land lay, they didn't work it. They were in captivity, they couldn't work it.
Right.
But when God set the hook in Judah, He said, it doesn't matter what you do. He said, buddy, you're hooked, in other words. I've got the hook set in you. I'm going to draw you to where I want you. He gave them over in judgment to Nebuchadnezzar.
Amen.
And there they stayed until God was ready for them to be released. That's what I'm saying. When God sets the hook, your hook ain't no getting off.
Amen.
Amen? There's no getting off. Listen to this. In 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 28, along that same line of thought we read, because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose. There it is again. Amen. I'll put my hook in thy nose. Boy, I tell you, that would feel very good, wouldn't it? To get a hook in your nose. I remember one time fishing with my uncle, some of my uncles years ago down in Delta Hall, Tennessee, back in the 50s. And there was a little slough came back in there, and he was over there, and he was a bass, 12, 14, 15 inches long, swimming around in there. He was over there trying to burrow one, snag one.
And he had that hook in there, and he stretched that, and that thing come out, he had a trigger on it, it come out of the water and stuck right in his ear.
Buried that burr right up in his ear, sticking out the other side. Boy, he had a time getting that thing out. But boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of feeling in your ear, you know that. But you think about getting in that nose, I'll tell you, even young people wire them those hooks in their nose, you and those nose rings, we call them. Isn't that awful? I can fix that thing all the time, bring in a booger up there. I don't care how big they stand there. I can't stand anything in my nose.
Right, man.
I'm so conscious of my nose. I'm continually, and you see, my nose from you, some of you can hide yours. Yours coming down there to where, but I got a kind of turned up nose, and it's easy to see it, man. And so I've got to be real careful with my nose, amen? But I the world, they put that ring in their nose, I know. And some of them put them in their, these women put them in their belly. How can he think, can he stand that? And it's awful, isn't it? They got rings everywhere.
Yeah.
And so it's such a mess in my life. God help me, I don't want to give up on that right now. I got something else I want to preach. Amen? But he said, because I raised against me, and that tumult has come up into mine ears. Therefore, he said, I will put my hook in thy nose. God can and will put his hook in your nose. Amen. I mean, if you're so outraged against the Lord, and you say, oh, preacher, how in the world can you be? Well, if you're outraged against the man of God, you're outraged against God.
Amen.
Right. He's God's spokesman.
Amen.
The man of God is the people of God are too. I mean, if the person's got so much hate for the church because they come knocking on his door and trying to get him to Christ and get him to keep him from going to hell, and God just allows him to slap a hook in his nose. Right. Amen. That's right. I guarantee you, that's right. And God's not above slapping a hook in his nose. Right. And hooking him and drawing him where he wants to draw him. Take him right where he wants to take him. He will have no say-so in it.
Right.
Amen? Not one say-so in it will he have.
Right.
Now, so we learn from the Word of God that the wicked are hooked and drawn away by the Almighty. Write it down. The wicked are hooked and drawn away by the Almighty. We've already shown that here in the Word of God. Already clarified what I'm saying. Say amen right there. I said, God will hook, amen, the wicked and draw them away with his hook. At a time that he chooses to do that. Now in Job chapter 9 verse 12 he says, behold, he taken away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what knowest thou? Well, do you want to be good? You can talk back to the Lord, I'm telling you right now. Amen. And God will hook the wicked. Time and time again in the Word of God shows that God hooks the wicked. He puts his hook in their nose. And he draws them wherever he will. And God's still doing that very thing today.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, surely he is. And he uses different ones and different things as hooks too. You say that?
Right.
He does. Back in the days of the kings, back in the days that we have just read about, they had what they call flesh hooks. And they would take those flesh hooks many times after a battle. And they would take some of the important men of that city or of that country where they had the battle. And they put those flesh hooks in their jaws. And they would get them and pull them behind their chariots as they made their triumphal entry back into their city. Amen. They'd have a royal parade. They had those chains behind them with the flesh hooks in them. Amen. I guarantee God got the flesh hooks today. I guarantee when God will set the hook on somebody, he can do it. He will do it.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you what he'll do too. He'll parade before the entire world and show them that he's still in power. Amen.
Amen.
God is to thank God in power today.
Amen.
And all the talk that's going on today in the political circle today in this country.
Amen.
Overseas, thank God God's still in control.
Amen.
And more than man's in control.
Amen.
If God gets ready, he will put the hook in them and draw them before he'll have them.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that. God help us as Christians, as children of God, to put our faith in God, not man. I got my faith in God.
Amen.
I don't really think we got much of anything today for leadership. That's running right now. I don't. We got to take the lecture of the two evils. That's the truth, really.
Right.
Amen. That's the truth. But buddy, I guarantee you, I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied what we're going to have, what we're going to have in leadership in this country. I'm not. I believe the Lord is going to take care of it, though. Amen. Whatever happens, God will take care of it.
Right.
We just rest in the Lord. do what we're supposed to do. That's all God wants us to do anyway. As where voting is concerned, we're going to vote who we think is going to honor the Lord. And we'll stand up for something that's right.
Right.
Serving the Lord here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church, we'll just serve God every other day, be a good witness, have a good testimony, keep the Lord's Day holy, be out here for things that are appointed for the work of the Lord here, and just go through, just do everything you're supposed to do, and just don't worry about it, leave the rest of it in God's hands.
Right.
Now listen, you got people that are lost, you got children that are lost, witness to them, you don't have to pressure them, witness to them, tell them what they need to be doing, tell them about Jesus, and pray for them, and leave them in the hands of the Holy God.
Amen.
You take care of it, I'll guarantee you, God will not let us down.
Amen.
Whether it be spiritual sickness or physical sickness, whatever it might be, we just need to learn to turn it over to the Lord.
Yeah.
Notice he said, I will put my hook in your nose. Not the preacher, not the people. God said, I'll do it.
Right.
We need to let the Lord do his own work.
Amen.
I tell you, when you're a little crazy, we need to be doing the Lord's work. Well, we need to let the Lord do his own work. We need to be doing what we need to be doing, to let God do his work. I think a lot of times we try to do the Lord's work literally, and we don't get a thing done out of it. Amen. Just tell them about Jesus. Tell them what they need to be doing. Don't pressure them. Let God take care of the rest. Amen. I believe that's what we need to do. I do. On anything that comes up in life. Anything and everything. Amen. So we see here that you can't stop the Lord. And the wicked are hooked and drawn away by the Almighty. And he said, who can hinder him? Who will say unto him what to do himself? Not only are the wicked, then we find, are hooked and drawn away by the Almighty, but also, I believe, the wayward are. And the Word of God teaches that, the wayward. Amen. I mean those that are walking far off from God. Amen. We know a lot of them around today. They're wayward. I mean, they've chosen their way instead of God's way. And that's what you do when you just turn your back. Are you listening to me? When you turn, you young people, listen to me. When you get older, you're getting to the place where you're going to get to the age where you can have a say-so on things in this society. You know, when you get up around, get close to 16 or 16, 17, won't be long, you'll be 18 years old, you'll be voting age. I think it's too young, brother. But you'll be voting age, and you'll be the age where you can get a public job. And I hate to say it, but you'll be able to get the age where you can go on your own. I don't try. Somebody said, well, what should I do? I said, well, just don't let them think that they can. As long as you can love them and keep them thinking they can, you do it until they're 30 years old. Amen? That's the truth. That's the truth. I guarantee you young people, if you live long enough, amen, one day when you get my age, or not even my age, and have a family and raise children, you'll look back and see, but you've been better off. You stay in your father's, your daddy's house till he's about 35 years old. I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
You wage war with a life and to survive and to raise a family and to work and to worry. Amen. I guarantee you'll see that life, and Frank Sinatra didn't have it right when he said, life is just a bowl of cherries. No, I guarantee you it's not just a bowl of cherries. Life can be all the rough.
Amen.
There's a lot of crooked places that you'll have to travel in life.
Right.
Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. And if you don't watch, when you get close to that age, we've seen it happen right here.
Amen.
In the house of God.
Right.
They get wayward.
Sure
they get wayward. And get in church, and they think you don't have to go for one service a week. What do they get there at? Well, where do you get there at?
Amen.
I tell you, church needs to follow. It needs to follow the man that's put in charge of it. And God so placed me at the head of Good Shepherd Baptist Church as a pastor, as the overseer of this flock. And you need to listen to what I have to say. As long as I'm in that book, as long as I'm doctrinally sound, you need to listen to me and follow me. Amen. Even as I follow Christ. Amen.
Right.
Don't get wayward on the Lord. Don't get to where you think you've got a better way.
Right.
It's going to be your way. Oh, I listen to Daddy now, and I listen to Mommy now. I'm 18. I won't have you in church. I'll just do my own thing. That happens all the time.
Right.
I'll be, boy, you knew your own thing. You'll be wishing you had done that one day.
Amen.
You'll be wishing. I'm going to tell you, the best thing you can do is obey your mother and Daddy in the Lord, for this is right.
Amen.
The Bible says to stay in the house of God. Let God find you a wife. Let God find you a husband.
Amen.
Amen. You stay with God, you go with God. I guarantee you, you'll go with God. God will bless you.
Amen.
It's important that you go with God. Don't go in your own way, for heaven's sake.
That's right. Amen.
Well, I'm just sick of losing young people to the stinking world.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You're sick of the devil snatching them out. Low down, rascal.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You parents don't give them leeway either.
Oh, amen.
Amen. Don't encourage them in it. Don't do that. For heaven's sake. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Amen. I see all the wicked hooked and drawn away, but also the wayward are hooked and drawn by the Almighty. Now God, let something happen. I guarantee you think you're going to have your way. You're not going to if you're God's child. You're just not going to do it. You might for a little while, but God will hook you and draw you back just like He did the prodigal.
Amen.
Amen. He put the hook in him, son. He drew him right back to the Father's house. And you know what? When he got back, he was glad that he put the hook in him. I believe. Don't you say amen right now? I believe he was glad that God put the hook in him and drew him out of sin and drew him back in the right way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
That's right. He is. Praise God, almost 35 years of serving the Lord, and I tell you, it's been wonderful. I have no regret serving the Lord. He's been so good to me.
Amen.
And He's continually good to me. Boy, He gives me so many good things to enjoy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's been good to me. I'm telling you right now. Give me a good place to live. He's given me 12 grandchildren, a wonderful wife. Three children and a good church to pastor.
Amen.
And some wonderful times that we have. Boy, I tell you, I love that mission out west we have. I love our camp meetings. I tell you, they're so precious. Hey, man, I want to tell you something. You get out of this church, and you go find an old private church that has a couple of revival meetings a year, and that's about it. Has a little private service on Sunday morning, not one on a Sunday night. Maybe they'll have 100 on Sunday morning, 200. Sunday night might have 40, 50. Wednesday night might have 20, 25. If we go to a bar, preacher don't get excited about anything. Old man gets excited about when he gets raised on his salary. Say amen right there. Amen. It's the truth. Something above and beyond his everyday ministry.
Right.
I didn't create any excitement.
Amen.
I'm excited about what the Lord does in my life.
Right.
Every day I wake up, I look forward to that day, what God's going to do. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I said he hooks and he draws away the wayward. In 2 Chronicles 25, verse 8, we read, for God hath power to help and to cast down. What about that? To help and to cast down.
Right.
Amen. Amen. To cast down. Now he's hooking. Why shouldn't he do a little casting? Don't you do a little casting before you hook?
Yeah.
God can cast down. He can cast up. He can cast right. He can cast the left. He can cast down. Amen. Whatever he hooks into, I'll show you that. I find also that not only does he hook and draw away the wayward, draw the wayward to where he wants them, but also we find that he, the wanton are hooked.
Right.
The wanton are hooked and drawn away from their wantonness. Amen. Wantonness. I mean the excitement. That's what wantonness is. Pleasure minded.
Right.
Get caught up in too much pleasure. Worldly pleasure. Physical pleasure. Someone that always has to be pleased in the flesh.
Right.
Amen. God has a way of putting the hook in them.
Right.
And drawing them out of that place. There's a lot of people like that.
Right. Right.
And they're never satisfied.
Right.
They need something to fascinate the flesh all the time. Amen. It's easy to get caught up with stuff like that, especially if you got money to do it with.
Yeah.
Amen. I've seen people do it, and I have. I see people, that's why the Bible says the riches increase sitting on your heart upon them. If you don't want to get pleasure minded with your money, you will. And you'll find yourself going on vacations and going here and there and letting it interfere with your service to the Lord. And that's wantonness. It is. And I'll guarantee you, God will put a hook in you for that. Now, He will. He'll put a hook in you for that. And I've seen people come into money and to do that very thing. I could name names of people over the years. I won't do that, but I've seen it happen. I have. The riches increase, and he set the heart on riches and pleasures and fleshly lusts. Amen. I mean, listen, anything you put before the Lord is a lust of the flesh. That's exactly right. It is. I'm telling you. I've had people tell me, say, well, we won't be at church Sunday. We're going to be on the road. That's on the road. Well, what about church? Well, we're going to stop along the road at church. And by some church. And not even a preacher. And they're going to have church along the road. I don't like that. Start with, if you're going to leave this church, you're not going to be here on a Sunday. Find you a church out there somewhere to go to before you even get out there.
Right.
There's plenty of good churches between here and wherever you go.
Right.
Well, I remember one morning we were down in this side of Houston, Texas, on a motel. Other side of Houston. Yeah, other side of Houston. Headed toward Brownsville. Well, we're going to Corpus Christi and spend the day and night there at the homes, Lester Olaf's home. And we just got out of the motel. And it was about, I think it was around 8:30. We'd get close to the time for Sunday school. And I told the man, I said, we got to find a place to go to church. And we drove and drove and drove and never found anything. And I said, dear God, find me some place to go to church. Lord, I have such a desire to be in the house of God. Here it is almost Sunday school time, about 20 minutes to 10. And lo and behold, right there on the side of the road, we were going to the little Bible Baptist church, wasn't it, Brother Andrew? I serve a Bible Baptist church. And almost all your Bible Baptists are independent and fundamental. And so we stopped there, and it was. And old Sammy Allen had just been there a few weeks before preaching. And we went to Sunday school there, had an old Tex-Mex teacher. And God bless his heart. All he did was read a chapter out of all the reading commentary on Brother Holmes. He didn't even call me nothing. He just said, never read it. He just read it. And that was all we had. But, I mean, it's better than that, praise God. But that old preacher got up there. He didn't get up there. He couldn't get up. He had such a bad back, didn't he, Brother Anthony? And he sat down right here. Yeah, he's talking about a bad back. He sat down right here and had a little pulpit about that high and pulled it over right to him. But he sat there, I'm telling you, he caught myself in the floor. He did, didn't he, Brother Anthony? He preached the message, son. Never moved. I didn't have to move to preach. I found that out. That's because he couldn't move. I guarantee if he could move, he'd been all that building that day.
Yeah.
His back was laying. We preached, so we had church.
Yeah.
God, we felt like we were fed
right.
From the Word of God. Now, what are you saying that for, preacher? We did what God wanted us to do.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
God bless us. We had a great trip. We had a great day. Now, I believe we just got up that morning and said, we go to Sunday school all the time. Here, we just had a word of prayer and get it. Didn't even look for church. I don't think that pleased the Lord. Well, let's just pull off the side here and have a church. We won't even look for a church. I don't think we need to do that. We need to find a church to assemble with.
Amen.
And God found this one.
Amen.
Amen. That's important.
Right.
If you don't watch, you'll get wavered on the Lord. You'll get to wanting on the Lord and get caught up in things you don't need to be caught up in. And you'll cause God to have to put a hook in your nose. Now, I don't want a hook in my nose, do you?
Right.
I know. I'm going to tell you that.
Amen.
Amen. In Proverbs 21, verse 17, we read, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Now, what about that? He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Now, I'm rich in the Lord.
Right.
Buddy, I am. If you're serving God and you're faithful to God, you are rich tonight. I don't care if you live in a tar paper shack down the railroad track. If you're right with God, you're living for God, you are rich, richer than most people, and as rich as anybody.
Amen.
Jesus says you got food and rank, you'll be satisfied. Food and clothing, that's what he said. That's what he said. So, can you see? And we got a lot more than just food on our table, clothes on our backs, everyone. Come on, man. Boy, God's been good to us. Why in the world simply want to serve him better? Amen. That's right. He said, you get pleasure, man, but you're poor.
Right.
You don't have anything. I'm telling you, you don't have the peace of God working in your heart and life. You don't have anything.
Right.
Your money can't bring peace. I don't care if you, I don't care if this building would hold what money you've got. I guarantee you. Now, I don't have anything just to have a little money because it don't have you.
Right.
But I guarantee if you had this building with old money, didn't have the peace of God in your heart, you wouldn't have anything. You'd be poor and joke stirring.
Right. Amen.
That's right. You would die a poor person. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Riches don't bring happiness. It don't bring happiness. I'm telling you, it don't.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I find the more you get, the less you care about it, really. That's the truth. And the more material things you get, the less you use them. You don't really need the one of everything, really. That's the truth. I dare say most of us have got closets full of clothes. Haven't we? Yeah, that's right. And we got nice vehicles to drive, homes to live in, houses with clothes on our backs, good food to eat. God's a good to us. Bless His sweet name. Amen. So there's no reason to love pleasure and to such a degree that it's going to stand between you and serving the Lord. You see? When that happens, then you are guilty of wantonness. You are. You really are. All right, I've got another one here. I said we find the wanton are hooked and drawn away from the wantonness. And then we find also that the weary are hooked also and drawn by the Almighty. The weary, drawn by the Almighty. Oh, yes, hooked and drawn. God wouldn't have you to be weary. He wouldn't. He would not have you to be weary. We need to be weary.
Right.
We need to be happy. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. God wants us to be happy. Paul said rejoice always. Again, I said rejoice.
Right.
And so we'll always rejoice and be happy in the Lord. Amen? And always look to the Lord for everything. I want to have happiness in my soul.
Right.
I do. I like to go home, be able to sit down and just be at peace with the Lord. Now listen, if you're not serving the Lord, what we preach here, I guarantee you, we get it, we do everything after this morning, sit, get the same. We're going to try to get it tonight. I guarantee you that the things have been revealed to you that will keep you from having peace with God. Now they will. And if you've got something in your heart and mind that God has spoke to you about today, and you fail to get to this altar, now I don't care who you are.
Right.
If you fail to get this thing done with God, taken care of, and get it settled, you'll not have peace if you go home with that.
Right.
You'll not. You think it's worth it? But you need to come, because he used to say you need to come clean with God. People say, this person over here, he's crooked, or she's crooked, they've done things that are wrong, we need to come clean with the law. We need to come clean with God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Come to the Lord and ask God. I've had to do it many, many, many times. I'll have to do it many, many more times before I die. Right. So something that God touches me about and slaps me forward, amen, through the preaching of the Word of God.
Right.
I've got to bend my knee to the Lord,
yes,
and ask the Almighty to forgive and cleanse me,
yes,
and help me, amen.
Amen.
And He will, and that peace will return.
Right.
Amen. It will return, praise God.
Right.
And we need that. And God would have us be weary. He said there in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just come to the Lord, I'll give you rest. Don't aggravate yourself to death over something God spoke to you about, and you'll let your flesh have the victory and not getting it settled with the Lord. It's exactly what you're doing. I've seen people get mad at the preacher. I haven't get mad at me. I know the things that I'm preaching on, and that's you're doing what's wrong. You won't yield to the Lord, and you get mad at me. Well, I'm telling you, you get mad at me, you get mad at God. I'm not God, but I'm telling you right now, God's man. And I preach the Word of God to you, and you get aggravated with me, what I preach. I've heard talk about, maybe not about some of you, I've been talked about, the stand I take on things, on different things, and call me a mean preacher. I'm not a mean preacher. I hate the stinking devil. And I got no backbone about to stand up and preach on things that God wants me to preach on. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to preach it.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's the way we ought to be. Whether it's true, what I read this morning. Rebuke, amen, with all long-suffering doctrine. That's right. And encourage, amen.
Right.
Exhort, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering doctrine.
Amen.
How in the thick is you going to preach out against it? How are you going to rebuke something if you don't preach out on it?
Amen.
How are you going to do that? Well, somebody out here, something about a man who walks, he comes down here in our parking lot, gets out, and starts taking his clothes off. Well, I don't want to offend you, and I'm not going to say anything to him, but I fear he's going to be stripped naked here in a moment.
Should I handle it like that?
I'll be knocking that cold rock, say. No, but I'll burn you up with rocks. Get your clothes on, get in that car, and get out of here. Low down, stinking devil. Take a devil to do that.
Yeah, right.
If things happen like that.
Right.
Why, some preachers would say that, just don't look down there. There's a fellow standing down there naked, and I fear a little bit. Greatly, he might go through a wall. I said, we say anything, don't you? I guarantee you also something to him.
Amen.
I guarantee you've got a preacher who would put up with that nonsense.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'll lay that Bible down and whip him all that parking lot before I let him run around in front of my people, maybe.
Amen.
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 Yep.
I go home and get one of them blacksmith whips I bought for my grandsons and lay it on them. Amen. I'm telling you, we've got to rebuke Satan and call it what it is.
Amen.
And then put it in the hands of the Almighty and let him put the hook to it.
Right.
God has a way of doing it. Amen. Let me say this evening. We're going to be through here in just a moment. This, when God sets a hook, it will not be easily shook. I guarantee you, you won't do like a fish and shake it out of your mouth.
Right.
Not when God sets a hook. You
know. Amen.
But you might as well get ready for a round, buddy. When God sets a hook in you, you're not going to get off. And you'll not shake it off. You'll not shake God off. When the Holy Ghost starts working on you, buddy, you don't shake Him loose.
Right.
Amen. Not even a Christian thing. Sometimes He'll put the hook in you for service. He will. You'll try your best to shake it off. But you'll try to ignore it. You'll try to get it out of your mind. What you do, you'll try to shake that hook off. I mean, you'll try to get your mind on something else. You'll go home, maybe put on an old John Wayne Western, and you sit there and try to watch it, and you can't enjoy it because God has got the hook set in you for service.
Amen.
You can't shake it loose.
Right.
It's not easy to shake. I don't know why that. I tell you right now, God is my witness. I talked face to face with the Lord one day, and here's one of the words I said. It was back about 1975, I guess it was. 76. I said, Lord, God, leave me alone. I don't want to preach, and I don't want the pastor. I'll do anything else, just leave me alone. What was I doing? Trying to shake that book out. It didn't do a bit of good.
Right.
It just set it a little deeper.
Amen.
But he hung on, sir, just like a man would be out at sea. Amen. I mean, with a big swordfish. He just hung on, son.
Yeah.
Hung on. Boy, I was trying to shake it loose. Boy, I was trying to pile the water. He didn't do a very good job. I thought he had the hook set on
him. Yeah.
And he drew me right where he wanted me.
Yes.
To the place one night when I broke down and started bawling, crying. I said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. If you want me to preach and pastor, I'll start a church. I promise you, I'll do it. Oh, God, just get this book out of me.
Yeah.
Son, it hurts. Get that thing out of my nose.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes, my wife. I came in that night holding her. Look at that bawling, crying. Not being in the cab with me in trouble. I said, the Lord has done it. Got the part of me mad. Told me what I've got to do. What's that? I said, I've got to start a church. Well, I'm not going to be any part of it. But she did. She put a hook in her nose to it. And he drew her right into it. Amen. Now God do that. Amen. It'll not be easy. So, let me give you another. When God sets the hook, others will take a second look. They will. They'll take a second look. Well, you know, I really didn't know. I really didn't think that old Brother Duncan was really serious about preaching. But now that I watch him and see God using him and the church he started is still going now after almost 27 years, I believe that it's God's name. You see, they took a second look, didn't
they? Right.
Amen. They really take a second look. God sets the hook.
Yes, sir, brother.
Now, God didn't set the hook in a person, Brother Patterson. They won't do much. They won't. I realize there's a lot of people getting fascinated with the ministry and with preaching. They see the crowd around the preacher and they see the esteem he gets. And he ought to be really God's man. He should, because if he's really God's man, he won't take it. He'll give the glory to God.
Right.
And he should do that.
Amen.
And they'll see him being used with God. And they get a little envious. And they won't do that themselves. Kind of like the boy that sees a Marine uniform on the telephone, all the girls hanging around him, the fire trooper with his wings and his sharp uniform, and the girls are going, woo! And they like, I'm going to get me one uniform. I said, I'm going to get me one uniform, man. I like how they girls are getting around that young man. I'm going to get me a uniform. He gets the uniform, he says, what do you have to do to teach? And he says, oh, I don't want the girls. Girls will stay away from me. I don't want this uniform either. Amen. I tell you what, if you're not called, if you haven't been hooked up by the Lord and drawn into the ministry, I'll guarantee you it looks so sweet to you after you have a bite to it.
Amen.
Amen. Because God is the one that enables us to preach and to pastor and to be long suffering with people and to give our lives to Him. Amen. God does that. Boy, if it hadn't been for the Lord, I'd have quit a long time ago.
God put the love for preaching in me, and God put the encouragement in me, and the long suffering in me. And everything I've got to hold my ministry together, it comes from the Almighty, not from the flesh, not from heart or nothing. Amen. God sets a hook, that is will. Take a second look, I've got another one. When God sets a hook, it will be recorded in His book.
Amen.
I guarantee you will. It will be recorded. Amen. I like old Dr. Al Bigger, he used to say.
Man, you don't believe that I'm God's man? He said, I'll tell you what you do. You go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, if I were Big Green, God's man, I'll guarantee you he's got it written down. He knows I'm his man. He'll tell you no ifs or buts about it. Amen. God does. He records it in his book. Amen.
When he sets a hook, God sets a hook in you, buddy, there's a new name written down in glory.
Amen.
Amen. Would you all agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
But I believe that with all my heart. My name is written down in glory.
Amen.
My report, Job said, is on high. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think, but and it doesn't matter really, because God's got the true report.
Amen.
Because you can get a false report on a preacher. You know, a lot of times people will look at a preacher because of a rotten member. Don't you do that with me? I've had a lot of rotten members. All these preachers have had a lot of rotten members. That don't mean the preacher's rotten.
Right.
And it's really the devil just snatched another man out of his flock. That's all that means.
Right.
Amen. He's slipping one by. That's all that means. That doesn't take away from that preacher.
Right.
Amen. No, sir. I guarantee you every pastor has people pull back on him.
He did.
He does. Amen. Hey, what about God? You don't think God's a good father? Huh? Well, what about that? He was bad on him, didn't he? Well, I sure you back when somebody said, well, that's God talking all. That's a flesh. It's a flesh. It's a flesh's fault. That's exactly what stole over the stand the devil.
Right.
And a woman's fault that was tempted by the devil, and the man fell for it.
Right.
That's right. He's in the transgression because he didn't take his place ahead of the house.
Right.
But the woman won't sin against God first since she was been approved first. Amen. I guarantee you, it wasn't because God was a good daddy, but Adam went bad. You can't always say that a parent is a bad parent because a son or daughter goes bad. You can raise up a child the way it should go, and he gets back out and gets in sin and this and that. That doesn't mean that you're at fault. It does not. When they get of age, you can't do a thing but talk to them and pray for them. Well, you do. It doesn't mean that's something you're a bad parent. It does. There's a lot of times we have failed in our bringing and raising our children, but what about all the good things we did? What about all the times we brought them all to the house of God? And he said, under preaching like this right here, what about all those things? It's your fault. It's your fault. It was Adam's fault. It was God's fault. And you said it's our children's fault. And they're from Adam. They're the sins of Adam. They got the old dead nature. That's what the problem is. That's why Jesus died and shed his blood, because of that old, low down, and dead nature.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.